All right, let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I've entitled this message, "We Shall All Be Changed." We shall all be changed. The Apostle Paul declared in the 49th verse of 1 Corinthians 15, that having had the image of the earthy, that is, being born in Adam, having been born frail, corruptible, mortal creatures, living in an animal body, a body that is animated by a living soul, a spirit of life in a man. There's something that makes us continue to go. It's just that life. But we're living in a body, the earthy body, that's subject to corruption, to death, to decay. Having born this body, now that's what we're going through right now. Having born this earthy body, the scripture says we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, being born of Christ in regenerating grace the first time. That's the first resurrection. That's what it talks about. We rise from the death of unbelief and sin, and life will be imparted in the new generation. That's the first generation. But there's another generation, a resurrection that's going to come, and it's going to be at his second return. We know this, having borne the image of the earthy, we're going to bear, the scripture says, the image of the heavenly. Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And this is of absolute necessity. This has got to take place. It's got to. Verse 50 says this. Now this I say, what he just said, verse 49. This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now, he's clearly setting forth something that's going to take place in the second return of our Lord, and the people of God raised out of the ground. He's going to come back with the saints, the spirits, the souls of his people, the new man that's been with him, absent from this body, present with the Lord. He's going to come with all of his angels and his people. And at that time, this body is going to be reunited with that spirit. But that body that went in the ground in corruption is going to come out in incorruption. There's going to be an actual material change in us before we can enter into heaven, into the kingdom of God, because the scripture sets forth that flesh and blood, that means this body of corruption as we know it. This is all we know. This is I can't think in any other way concerning a body except the body that we have, the body that changes, that body that gets older, that gets weaker, that body, that's all we know, body that is tainted by sin. That body cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now this is what he's saying. The creation and its environment must be adapted to each other. That's just the way it is. I said this before, last time we looked at this. This is what we all know. There's all kinds of flesh. We have flesh. Birds got flesh. Fish got flesh. Walking animals, lions and all that kind of, they've got a certain kind of flesh. And a fish in his flesh can live in the water. Why? He's adapted to that environment. He's made that way. His gills are made to where he can suck in water, gets the oxygen out of it, and rest of it goes out the back. He's made like that. Now, we can't do that. We're just not made that way. We live on a planet that's got gravity. It's got some air. It's got some food in it. And that's where we're made. We've got our lungs are adapted to where we receive oxygen by just sucking it in. That's why we get it. And our bodies are made that it goes to all parts of our organs, and they're oxygenated, and that's the way we're adapted. And so we, in this natural state of corruption, can live on this planet because that's the way God made us. But in heaven, it's not going to be like that. We're not going to have this body of flesh and blood can't live there. Now, Paul says in verse 51, something's going to have to happen. And he said, now, behold, I show you a mystery. Now that word mystery means this. It means a revelation that heretofore was hidden. This is the first time that it was ever told that something was going to have to change. I mean, we all knew that, that maybe they knew in the Old Testament that, that there was glory and Abraham believed God. He said, I'm going to show you something that heretofore had not been told. First time that it was told in Scripture. I'm going to speak a truth that's been hidden in God's purpose and will, but now it's revealed. He said, I show you a mystery. Here's the mystery. And he wasn't talking about just those that he was talking to at that moment, but he was talking about all of God's people who have lived before us, who are living now, or who shall be born in time if the Lord tarries and they're born. He said, we shall not all sleep. That means we're not going to all die physically in the same way that we're accustomed to see people leave this world. This is the way we naturally behold. We see somebody and according to God's will and providence, whether they're taken out instantaneously, whether they have a long lingering disease, whatever, we recognize a physical death. And he said, we're not all going to do that. We're not going to slumber from living in this world, from the toils of this world. We're not all going to sleep. There's some that's going to be here when the Lord returns. But we're not all going to sleep. We've all been chosen in Christ and justified by his grace, regenerated. But we're not going to all experience physical death. Burial as we know it. We're not all going to do that. But we all shall be changed. We're not all going to die physically, but we're all going to be changed. Now, though there's so much that we don't know about that, but we do know this. Our bodies in heaven are truly going to be flesh. Now, we've looked at that scripture. We looked at it in Job, and Job says, I know I'm going to see God in my flesh. I'm going to see God. So I know that it's going to be flesh. We're convinced of that. But not in this present state. It may look like this. It may look like this. I don't know. We're going to recognize each other. Peter, James, and John knew who Moses and Elijah was. They knew them. They knew who that. I know you. They knew them. How'd they know them? I don't know. But our bodies are going to be not physical, carnal, corruptible. They're going to be spiritual bodies, real bodies. Our bodies that are corrupted by sin, subject to all of the effects of sin that, you know, just continually going in a downward spiral of corruption, you know, that, Paul says, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We bear it now. We're not going to bear it then. We're going to be changed by a quickening spirit, the Lord Himself. We're going to possess that spiritual body. Flesh, real flesh. Flesh that's changed into that which is now capable of living in heaven forever. And then he said, this change is going to take place this way. Look at verse 52. In a moment. In a moment. In an indivisible atom of time. That's the description. I looked it up. An indivisible atom of time. Before we can even realize anything that's happening. Then he says this, in the twinkling of an eye. John Gill said this. He said that the twinkling of an eye, it refers to the fastest movement that a body can make. I tried to do it. I thought, I guess there's nothing else in my body that moves faster than that. You know, just the twinkling of an eye, a twitch, a jerk, just something that happens so quickly you didn't even know it happened. It was just, bam, it was over. In a moment. And when is that going to happen? The scripture says, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound. That sound, according to these scriptures, that's going to silence all other sounds. Can you just imagine? Now look, all the activity that's going on right now. Everything. Some parts of the world, people are sleeping. Sometimes, somewhere it's dark, and somewhere it's, you know, another time, this, that, and the other. But all kinds of business is going on. All kinds of stuff that's happening right now. At the last trump, the scripture says that sound that's going to stop all men, all women, all economy. It's just going to, all the activity, it's going to just stop. It's a sound that's going to be so arresting and so powerful. How powerful is it going to be? It says that the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. A sound so powerful, the dead's going to hear it. The dead in the ground, and for God's people, they're going to come out changed immediately. They're the first ones that's going to actually be, you know, joined with the Lord, body and soul now. And the ones still on the ground, they're going to be changed too. They're still here. But we're not going to prevent them. They're going to meet the Lord first. I mean, in a moment. How fast? So fast we didn't even. But God said that they were going to be raised first. And we'll meet them. And they're going to be raised at incorruption. That animal body created and suited to this world which we live shall in a moment. In a twinkling of the eye. that last sound before anybody even realized. They didn't even have time to take another breath. Whatever they were doing, wherever they are concerning the Lord, it's over. It's over. Last moment, last time they ever heard the gospel, last time they ever drank any water, last time that they spoke, it was done. And God's people will be in a spiritual body immediately. The Lord spoke of this event in John 5:25. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, write this down. Believe what I'm saying. This is the way it is. The hour is coming. Now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear," not just naturally with a natural ear, "but if they that hear him calling them," those that hear with new ears, "they're going to live. They're going to live resurrected and changed into that which shall endure forever." He said, you listen to what I'm saying. It's coming. The last trump is going to sound. I'm telling you, the dead are going to hear the voice of God. Those that sleep in Christ, united with him. Look at verse 53. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." God's decreed it. Heaven requires it. And though the Holy Spirit has not been pleased to explain to us all the details of this change, that change from a physical to a spiritual body, according to these scriptures, is absolutely necessary. Going to take place. We're going to be made incorruptible. We're going to be made immortal. We're going to be flesh, but we're going to be different. And there's going to be a blessed life hereafter. And death, physical death for a believer as we know it, is just that vehicle by which God Almighty shall usher us into his presence. That's all. That's what death is. It's that vehicle. It's that means by which the Lord's going to call us to himself. So, verse 54. "When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption," in that time when the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ arise, they hear the voice of the Son of God, they're raised incorruptible. "When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption," this mortal shall have put on immortality, "then," and not before then, "shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." When the Lord has been pleased to call all of his sheep that'll ever be born into this world unto himself, and he's going to call them all. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All power is given unto the Son that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given him." So all of God's elect are going to be saved. They're all going to be saved. They're all going to be made likened to him. After the Lord has called them all out in regenerating grace, after the trump of God is sounded, after those that sleep in Christ been raised from the dead, and we which are alive meet them changed in the air, then, not before then, it's going to be brought to pass what was written. Written where? Well, Isaiah 25:8. Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians. Turn to Isaiah 25, verse 8. This is where God Almighty said something back in the Old Testament, repeated it. 25:8. Isaiah 25:8, "He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it." God Almighty wrote this. Paul says in back in verse 54, "Then when This corruptible shall be put on incorruption. This mortal shall be put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that was written back in Isaiah. What saying? This: death is swallowed up in victory. And then the Spirit of God had the Apostle Paul write something. The Spirit of God was saying this. Paul said it, and all believers say it, in agreement with what the Spirit of God said. We believe God. We agree with God. Here's what the Spirit of God said first. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Where death, where is your sting? Here's that question of all questions now that settles the heart of God's people being delivered from the bondage of sin and destruction. Death, where is your sting now? When I was a kid, we lived in a little old house down in Louisiana. And I can remember, I remember right now, this exact illustration that I'm about to give you. I remember where I was in the backyard. I was barefooted, running around out there in the grass. And the little old house right there behind us, I was back and forth their house all the time, you know, going over playing with those kids and back and forth, barefooted. And we had these little old honeybees. And I'm telling you, they were all over the place, you know, and they'd get on clover and stuff like that, you know. And man, I'm telling you, I was standing by the clothesline. I remember where I was. And that bee got me, and I'm telling you, stung me. And I reached in and looked at my foot and had a little stinger stuck up in my foot, you know. Man, I reached down and pulled that out. Oh, man, that hurt. And I still saw the bee. I stepped on him. He stung me, and I guess I pushed him down the grass. But he was just kind of crawling around a little bit. So I just reached down and picked him up by his wings, you know, and put him in my hand, just kind of watched him. He was kind of walking around a little bit. But you know what? He couldn't do anything else to me. You know why? Ripped his stinger out. Ripped his guts out with it too. I remember that. It just jerked it right out. Man, I tell you, I could have held that bee all day long, and he'd have never got me again. Why? He didn't have another stinger. He only had one stinger. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Where's your sting now? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Christ has died. Christ was buried. Christ rose from the dead, victorious over the grave as the first fruits, as the promise of God to all those found in Him, chosen in Him, found. There's the promise of God. As He came out, we're going to come out. Oh, we're going to die unless we're here with the Lord. We're going to be changed, but we're all going to die and be buried too. But in that last trump, I tell you what, we're coming out of that grave. We're not going to stay in that grave. We're not going to have victory over us by the grave. Grave, where's all your boasted glory now? Huh? Verse 56, the sting of death is sin. That stinger in that bee, that was his power. Yeah, you step on me, I'll get you. And he did. But I tell you what, the sting of death, what is it? What's the power of death? What is the power of it? Sin. Sin. When Christ was made sin for His people. Now here's the sting of death. It's that sin in which we're born. That's what gets us. Oh, if I just wasn't a sinner. Well, yeah, but we are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's the sting. That's the power of it. That's the hurt of it. That's what gets us. We're sinners and we can't do anything about it. But the sting of death is sin. What did God do? Christ came into this world and was made what was getting us. He was made sin. He was made that stinger. And Almighty God judged him for it. Spewed out his judgment on what we deserved, he deserved. Now, he said, mine iniquities are more than the hairs of my head. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was made sin. For God to show mercy to us, somebody's going to pay that debt. Because the wages of sin is death. And he died. Under the judgment of God, the sting of death is sin. And when justice, God's justice was spewed out on him, on our behalf, sin's stinger toward us removed. No condemnation. He paid the debt. There's no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. Why? He took the sting of death himself. He paid it. I'll pay that. And the strength of sin, the sting of death is sin. And where does sin get, where does sin, that stinger, where does it get its strength? What? It's the law of God. Law of God. If it wasn't for God's law, there'd be no sin. There'd be no sin if there was no law, because sin is the transgression of the law. That's what sin is. God Almighty has set forth his demand for justice and righteousness. And that's his law. That's the strength of sin. Sin can say, you broke God's law. Because sin being the transgression of the law, Christ himself had to come into this world and obey it. Obey the law. Every jot, every tittle of God's law for his people. For us to have any hope, he had to bear the guilt of it, but he had to satisfy. Had to satisfy it and pay the debt of it. Now that the law of righteousness for everyone that believes, he's the end of that. He is the end of the law for righteousness. What am I saying? He obeyed it and then charged it to us. Righteousness. So now the law has no hold. There's no demands, no judgment toward God's people. So what's the conclusion? Look at verse 57. The thanks be to God, which, look at this blessed word here, giveth and giveth and giveth and continually gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, let's never get away from that word, how we receive this victory. It was something that we didn't earn. It was something that was bestowed. Something that was given. We didn't deserve it. We didn't even desire it. It was not until he revealed to us in regenerating grace what he had done for us. Until the Lord calls us out of darkness, we don't care. What difference does it make? That's our attitude. We're like Pharaoh. Who's the Lord that I should obey him? That's the attitude. Oh, but a believer, he can say just about the same thing, but he says it like this. Oh, who is the Lord? Holy, just, oh, I should obey him. That's how they don't say it as a, you know, a doubtful, you know, slur against him. They say it with adoration. My Lord, my God. They say it's Thomas. That's what they, you know, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. We are victorious. Victorious in Christ. How? We have obeyed perfectly every demand in Him. Have we obeyed? Are we holy? Yes. In Him. In Him. Found in Him. Robed in Him. We are victorious over sin. Why? Because our head, our federal head, our surety on our behalf bore that sin for us and paid its due in His precious blood. I know He did. Because God the Father said, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. Why? He paid it. Paid in full. Victorious over the grave because He went to the grave and came out of the grave. Why did He come out of the grave? Because God accepted what He did. It's my beloved Son. I'm well pleased. He had to die because that was the wages of it. But I tell you what, the grave couldn't hold Him. He came out victorious. And He won't be able to hold us either because we're in Him. He laid down His life for the sheep. He's going to raise up the sheep just like He was raised up. And therefore, here is the conclusion of the whole matter. Therefore, verse 58. My beloved brethren, you that hear the word of the Lord and do it. My beloved, beloved of God, beloved of each other. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let me just say that again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in what He did. In what He did. Not thinking that we're all the faithful ones. Now, God's people are faithful, kept by the power of God through faith. But here's where we're steadfast. Here's where we're unmovable because He keeps us by grace and power through faith. Here's where we're always abounding in what He's done for us, in the work of the Lord. In that which He accomplished. What did He accomplish? He accomplished that which God commissioned Him to accomplish. He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish the work. And Calvary, what did He say? It's finished. Debt paid. Righteousness established by His life. Justification by His blood. Redemption. Salvation for His elect. For you know, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What labor is that? What labor? What labor? Your belief. This is the work of Him that sent me, that you believe. For as much as you know that your labor of love, you know, your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, your labor is not in vain. My friend, trust in Him. Believe in Him. Waiting on Him. Casting your all upon Him. That's not going to come to nothing. I can tell you this, that's not in vain. Oh, no. In that day, that trump will sound. Dead in Christ raised, we'll meet Him. Meet them in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord changed. God's people say, I believe that. I endeavor, we abound in His work. That's what He's done for us. And that labor of believing Him is going to endure because God Almighty is going to keep us. I pray God bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay.